for Friday, October 22nd. It's the early word from the WNYC Newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky in for Isaac Davey Aronson with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC News team. Coming up, Beth Fertig tells us that ratings for 12,000 public school teachers won't be released to the media. And Andrea Bernstein finds out that Andrew Cuomo prefers to remain tight-lipped on how he would fund mass transit if elected governor. We'll start with the morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
New York State's highest-ranking elected officials rigged the bidding process for an unqualified gaming company seeking a lucrative gambling contract for Aqueduct Racetrack. That's the conclusion of a new report by this state's Inspector General, Joseph Fish. Those involved in selecting Aqueduct Entertainment Group included Governor Patterson, Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, and State Senate Leader John Sampson. The Inspector General says the bidding process was entirely political.
They all, together with the governor, had one constituency and one constituency only, and that was the state of New York. And their responsibility to that one constituency was betrayed.
Among the conclusions in the report, expert advice from the state's Division of Lottery was ignored, and the company benefited from leaks by top state officials. The inspector general has referred his findings to the Manhattan DA and federal prosecutors who were already investigating the deal. In a statement, Governor Patterson's spokesman notes that Patterson set a new selection process in motion, which chose a new vendor that produced $380 million for the state. Senator Sampson says in a statement that the IG's report highlights the, quote, well-known flaws and mistakes made in the process, and that his office is already conducting a review. A top New Jersey Democrat says Governor Chris Christie based his decision to cancel the commuter train tunnel under the Hudson River on two-year-old information. Assemblyman John Wisniewski and his staff looked through 400 pages of documents that led up to the governor's decision 2 weeks ago. He said the only reference to $5 billion in potential cost overruns was in an email about a federal report from 2008.
You'd have to ask the governor what's going on here, but I think that the administration made a decision to cancel the project and now are looking for reasons to justify that.
Wisniewski says Christie will likely use the tunnel money to bail out the state's Transportation Trust Fund. Christie's office says it will release more documents related to the tunnel cancellation decision, which could be made final later today. For a link to the governor's documents, go to transportationnation.org. New York City's public advocate is calling on city election officials to educate voters before and on Election Day about oddities on the ballot. Bill de Blasio is concerned that people won't notice the term limits referendum question, which is on the back of the ballot, and he's worried people will have a hard time figuring out which candidate names correspond to which ovals to be filled in.
So we have two huge problems here that we have to clarify to people how to vote for the candidate and let them know that there are important initiatives on the back of the ballot.
The Board of Elections acknowledges that instructions about how to mark the ballot are open to different interpretations, but a spokesman says they have a remedy. The instructions on the ballot will stay the same, but there will be signs in the voting booths and on palm cards handed out to voters clarifying what they need to do. You can see the ballot on our website, WNYC.org. Long Island Railroad riders will have to drive if they want to avoid major disruptions to the rail service this weekend. That's what Goldie Goldstein of Oceanside says she'll do in order to meet her daughter for a shopping trip.
I don't want to wait 70 minutes or have a two-hour wait, or if I miss a train, then I'm done for.
This weekend, the Long Island Railroad is running only one-third the normal number of trains on 10 lines that go through the Jamaica Hub. Officials say passengers should add more than an hour's travel time because many will have to take shuttle buses and the subway to get to Penn Station. The railroad is modernizing its signal system at Jamaica. The same disruptions will occur again in 2 weeks, November 6th and 7th. For more information, go to WNYC.org. And if you're driving in the city, Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadiq Khan has a message for you. Slow down. Announcing a campaign with the NYPD to reduce speeding in the city, she says most New Yorkers don't even know the city's speed limit is 30 miles per hour. And she says it's 30 for a reason.
If you are a pedestrian and you are hit by a car at 40 miles an hour, there is a 70% chance that you will die. If you're a pedestrian hit by a car at 30 miles an hour, there's an 80% chance you will live.
She says the city will also be stepping up enforcement against bicyclists who ride on sidewalks, go through red lights, and ride against the traffic. Meanwhile, a protected bike lane in Park Slope was the scene of dueling protests as more than 100 cyclists and supporters rode and walked from Grand Army Plaza in response to a nearby protest against the bike lane. The two-way bike lane created this summer reduced Prospect Park West's 3-car lanes to 2. Park Slope residents like Katrin Rooner say the bright green bike path impacts the historic district's appearance and increases congestion.
The drawbacks in terms of increased traffic safety issues and the cost to the architecture and aesthetics of Park Slope seem to outweigh benefits. I actually can't find any benefits to having the bike lane right here.
But cyclist Marina Beckerman takes the bike lane to work, and she's grateful that fewer car lanes have slowed down traffic.
I used to have to ride on Prospect Park West before the bike lane, and it was like taking your life in your own hands. It was so fast. The drivers were going way too fast.
The Department of Transportation says that preliminary data shows that before the bike lane, 3 out of 4 cars on Prospect Park West were speeding. The agency says that number has dropped to 1 in 7. And the DOT says almost half of all cyclists used to ride on the sidewalk, and that number has decreased to 4%. Democratic gubernatorial candidate Andrew Cuomo is not discussing what he'd do to raise funds for transit if elected governor. WNYC's Andrea Bernstein has more.
The MTA's budget woes are legendary, reflecting a crisis in public transit funding across the nation. But Cuomo believes there's waste to be cut and that it would be wrong to talk about things like bridge tolls or congestion charging.
Then you have just extinguished, for all intents and purposes, trying to find any economies.
Yawning budget gaps have led the MTA to cut services and hike fares. Cuomo's remarks came at a press conference releasing his urban agenda. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.
For more on what Cuomo has to say about transit, go to the Transportation Nation blog at WNYC.org. Meanwhile, Cuomo says he's done debating this election season. The Democrat, who has large leads in the polls, has turned down invitations to debate Republican candidate Carl Paladino one-on-one, saying that he promised to visit every county in New York before Election Day, and he has 14 more to go. Taking a look at today's calendar, President Obama continues his 5-state campaign swing, arriving in L.A. this morning. He'll deliver remarks at an event for Senator Boxer at the University of Southern California. Later today, it's on to Las Vegas, where he'll speak at a DNC rally and attend a dinner for Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who's in a tight race to hold on to his seat. The Bureau of Labor Statistics releases monthly mass layoffs for September, as well as its monthly report on regional and state employment and unemployment for last month. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton meets with Pakistani Foreign Minister Mahmoud Qureshi at the State Department. And the Yankees down 3-2 in the American League Championship Series, play in Texas tonight, needing a win to force a deciding Game 7 tomorrow. Phil Hughes, hoping to rebound from a tough outing in Game 2, pitches to keep the Yankees' hopes alive. Just some of what's happening this Friday. Ratings that measure the effectiveness of 12,000 New York City school teachers will not be released to the media, as the city had hoped. Instead, a state judge has scheduled a hearing for late next month on whether to release the information. The ruling came in response to a lawsuit where the union claims releasing the teachers' names violates an agreement it made with the city. WNYC's Beth Fertig was in the Manhattan courtroom when the ruling was handed down. She says besides the issue of confidentiality, the union questions the rating method itself. But the city says it's a reliable way to rate the teachers.
The city came up with a system a few years ago that tries to single out a teacher's effectiveness by comparing how their students are expected to do based on past performance, and then looking at how the kids actually do score on the state exams. But kids are different. They don't all start in the same place. They have, you know, issues outside the classroom like poverty or special education. So Deputy Chancellor John White says the city's formula takes that all into account.
We take the individual predicted score for each child, and then we average those scores. At the end of the year, we look at each individual child's results, and then we average those scores. And when you look at the difference between the average of the prediction and the average of the result, that's how much impact the teacher had.
But the president of the teachers' union, Michael Mulgrew, says the system is bad. It's based on student test scores that Mulgrew says are flawed. He says the city's Department of Education is going back on its deal and is using faulty data.
You have thousands of teachers who have taken a risk and gone out on a limb to try to develop a tool that will help them help students. And they were given a promise by the chancellor of the Department of Ed that as they're doing this work, they would uphold their safety needs in terms of don't tell people what's information about things that is not reliable yet. So I'm afraid that teachers will say, you know, this is what we get for going out on a limb.
Parents expressed mixed reactions to the teacher rating system. Virginia Diaz has a high school student with special needs. She wants to know how her son's teachers are doing, and she doesn't have much sympathy for the teachers union.
They sound like they're their kids, like they're their children, because it's basically, it's life. Everything that changes, everything has to change from the way we're learning. So things are going to get complicated as years, you know, go by. We got to set our minds to whatever comes ahead.
But Tom Meglin of the Bronx is not concerned about the scores. He has twins in ninth grade.
I'll be banging on the door of my teacher's classroom when I need to see them. But I don't need the city to give me extra data in order for me to make a decision about how well my teacher has done.
U.S. Education Secretary Arnie Duncan issued a statement praising the city for creating the evaluations. He said parents and community members have the right to know how their schools, principals, and teachers are doing. He added that it's up to local communities to come up with their own ways of dealing with ratings. But he added, silence is not an option. We'll wrap it up with the Gig Alert. The Washington, D.C.-based band U.S. Royalty is expecting a lot of buzz to follow its week of performances at the 2010 CMJ Music Festival. The four-man band performs its driving rock anthems tonight at Trash Bar in Williamsburg. You can download this track, Equestrian, and more free tracks from artists performing at the festival on our culture site. Just click on culture at WNYC.org. You can learn more about all the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, and go in depth with our reporters on the news blog. That's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Have a great Friday.
When the light flashed up in the hills, I lit it all for home. Memories of time spent away vanished.